Our friend Judge Don Lauer, the retired judge, joining me this morning. Donald, it's always good to speak with you, sir. I hope things are well.
Well, good morning, Tom.
You know, I asked Don to join me to kind of get me up. He talks me off a cliff occasionally, but that's something he's been doing for a number of years. Saying, look, you know, calm down. This is a process. Just because one thing is done, you got to wait. You got to watch. You know, Donald's a much more patient person. But I wanted to ask you, one, about Friday's decision. This was the one in U.S. District Court that says senseless crimes of a relative few cannot justify abridging the constitutional rights of a law-abiding citizens. And the AG of Illinois has already said they're going to appeal. This Friday ruling by McGlynn, Don, what more should we know about this?
Well, he has made the findings based upon the Constitution as to whether or not the plaintiffs were entitled to a preliminary injunction. Of course, he said basically that, yes, they have a likelihood of prevailing on the issues and that it could should warrant issuing a preliminary injunction on the matter. So, you know, Steve McGlynn is a good, solid judge. He was a good lawyer. He reads the Constitution. He's exactly what you would want on the federal bench. I've known him a long time. I'm not personal friends with him, but he's experienced. He knows the Constitution, and he doesn't get stampeded by public opinion.
So what's next for that case now, Donald? It goes somewhere, goes up, right?
Yeah, they'll appeal the AG. I had no doubt that the AG would appeal that to the Seventh Circuit in Chicago. Now, I don't have a lot of confidence in what will happen at the Seventh Circuit. This case, this entire matter is destined for the U.S. Supreme Court, ultimately. Now, I know that the Illinois Supreme Court is weighing in on the Naperville thing, but I believe ultimately that it will end up at the Supreme Court.
All right. Speaking of the Supreme Court, because I think this was interesting, and you and I talked about it briefly on Monday when I asked you to join the show, and this was an interesting ruling, an emergency application that was submitted to a particular justice who oversees our region. This decision is got a, I think they're saying by noon on Monday, they expect a reply.
Well, see, each of the Supreme Court justices have a particular region that they handle the emergency applications, and our particular person is Amy Coney Barrett from Indiana. So, yes, you know, they're already making waves into the U.S. Supreme Court because it's a federal constitutional issue, and it's also a state constitutional issue. You know, Section 22 says is even more restrictive. I believe it's Section 22 of the Illinois Constitution is even more restrictive than the Second Amendment, even. So this is all going to weigh out in the Supreme Courts of the state of Illinois and the U.S. Supreme Court. And it's going to take some time. None of these courts are going to rush to a decision. They are going to either let the status quo go and not implement the law like McGlynn has done, which it makes absolute sense because stop and think. You're depriving a lot of business owners suddenly of the ability to make a living, and they've got that inventory that they can't sell under the current law. So, it's not the law-abiding people that are causing the problem. It's the criminal. All they really need to do is start enforcing the restriction on convicted felons from having firearms, and they'll solve those problems mostly. Now, not all of them, but most of them.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that, Donald, is when you look at the records of gun seizures in Illinois and in our region, the confiscation and prosecution on gun laws is really low in these regions.
Well, that's right. And it's because I guess there's a reluctance to do it, but the fact of the matter is it is illegal for a felon to possess a firearm. Prosecute him if he has a firearm, or her. That solves the problem. You know, it's kind of like when the feds went into Cairo when they had the big drug problem. It didn't take them long to clean it up, and then they moved out of there and it came back. But the point is, prosecution will stop, it will deter people from violating the law.
Now, what's interesting in this Supreme Court application was the point that they were saying, look, these other courts and their rulings are ignoring the expanded Second Amendment ruling from last year. The courts are ignoring precedents, is my understanding on this emergency application to the Supreme Court.
And they basically are. You know, the Attorney General from Illinois and the governor and the legislature have just chosen to ignore what U.S. Supreme Court says and proceeded on doing things. You know, it's kind of like that bump stock ruling. There was some man in Texas that had 1,000 of those, and the ATF outlawed them immediately. Well, what's he supposed to do with his inventory? You know, he's got an investment there. They are taking property without just compensation, and that's a violation of the Constitution. There's a number of issues here. In Illinois, they violate the single subject rule on that bill. There's stuff in there about unionization in that bill.
Right.
It's supposed to be a single subject.
I remember you pointing that out to me before. Now, you talked about people not being able to sell weapons. I talked to an employee at a gun store last night, and I also spoke to State Representative David Freese, who on Monday said after the McGlynn decision on Friday, he'd want a gun which was illegal to transfer or sell in the state of Illinois. But after the McGlynn decision, he said he'd reached out to the organization, he'd won that gun. He says, now we can do that you can sell those guns right now because of that Friday decision.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
I wanted to make sure that because I said several people said we can for now. But you know what I find so interesting and so troublesome, Donald, and I, this is really, I think, the crux of it, is we see these decisions made based on the makeup of the court. You can see what to me appears to be predisposition of the judges, and they are realized in those decisions. And I've always thought, you know, the law, the contract we have with the government to be ruled shouldn't be dim or shouldn't be our. The rules, them's the rules. But this different view of this gun, you've got one person saying this is a public health hazard. We have to ask. People don't have the right to endanger. This is so many people are being killed. It's, you know, right. You've seen those decisions. What about that? Is there a way of reconciliation here, Don?
Well, you know, no, I'm going to tell you, it's a trend that is alarming and disturbing to some of us, to me in particular, that a lot of federal appointments are following political philosophy of the person appointing them rather than the Constitution. When you get appointed to the federal bench or you get elected, you raise your right hand, you swear to uphold the Constitution and the laws. So the first thing you do is look to see if a law is constitutional, if it follows the Constitution, not does it follow the political mindset of the person appointing that judge. And we've seen an erosion of that to, well, they'll do this, they'll do that. We're appointing someone that is going to make social decisions, not legal decisions. They need to move out of that and realize that their job is to make legal decisions. Look at the Constitution's. Every decision is not going to be popular that you make as a judge. And too many people are worried about the popularity contest or not being picketed or blasted in the media. You know, I was a judge 26 years. Every decision I made was not popular.
Well, and you know, I've had many discussions on that as well. But, you know, you've always taken the time to explain them to me, which I appreciate. which allows me to at least appear to be intelligent for at least a couple of moments at a time. So, Don, before I let you go, retired Judge Don Lowry, what's next? For those of us who feel bewildered by the court decisions, the variation of them, and the process itself, what should we be looking for, Judge?
Well, I think what you're going to see is an environment where there's conflicting rulings by a number of different judges or appellate courts or whatever, and that's why it's going to end up at the Supreme Court being sorted out. Now, it could be that Illinois Supreme Court will sort it out. I don't have a lot of faith in that, but because there's a federal constitutional issue here. Now, the Illinois Supreme Court is able to do it, but I don't know that that will occur.
All right. Judge Don Lowry, the retired judge, our guest this morning, 7:32.